It is wonderful to be back at Mechanic Grove this morning to share with you all, and I got to avoid the 50 mile per hour winds last week in Chicago, but I am missing a foot plus of snow today, and I am missing that a little bit. But I have been busy at work in Elgin. My first year in Elgin, I was planning FaithX trips, and then got to go on those this summer, so it took me all over the U.S. I think I counted I was in 11 or 12 states in 8 weeks. And now I have transitioned to the National Youth Conference office. So I get to plan National Youth Conference, which is happening this coming summer in July. I think it's 230 days away. So it's coming quickly. But this morning I'll start off by reading our scripture, which is Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, and that can be found in your Pew Bible on New Testament page 208. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his power and word, by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So today is the first Sunday of Advent, and with that comes a lot of joy and hope. And all over, there are pastors that have been setting up manger scenes at their churches and in their houses. And with that comes the slight pastoral crisis of trying to put together a biblically accurate manger scene. Jesus can't be present until Christmas Day, and I did check. Jesus is not in your manger yet. Mary and Joseph also need to spend the next few weeks traveling to the stable. The wise men also aren't even in the picture yet. And this creates a little bit of a problem when you have three manger scenes in your house and you start to take over every flat space that your parents have left in their house. And while this is sort of a half problem for pastors and those who want to and have space for biblically accurate manger scenes, it also points to a bigger part of the Advent season. All of these problems setting up the manger scene direct our attention to Jesus when he's born. Mary and Joseph have to travel and arrive at the stable where Jesus is born. The wise men have to go travel after Jesus is born to see him. And even the shepherds have to leave their flocks to go to Bethlehem to see Jesus. All of these parts that pastors are trying to make as biblically accurate as possible point us towards Jesus and prepare us for him to be born. And it's not the most important thing to have a biblically correct manger scene, but it is important to remember how all of these parts point towards Jesus and who he is as we start Advent. So we find out a lot about Jesus and who he is in the New Testament and his life here on earth, knowing that Jesus is the embodiment of God. But we're going to take a little field trip back to the Old Testament for a moment and get a little context about the character of God so we can see how Jesus is the embodiment of God. God reveals himself through the creation story at the beginning of Genesis, showing his power and his divine nature. Jacob has an encounter with God in Genesis 32. They wrestle, and he ends up with a hip injury. And God's presence is felt physically, but there is no visual of who God is. But this still shows us God's power and shows how God interacts with us. Moses sees God through the burning bush in Exodus 3. God was seen as an image and an experience rather than physically seen by Moses. This shows us that we can know and see that God is still present, even if we aren't physically seeing God. The power of God is seen through the parting of the Red Sea in Exodus 14 and 15. We see God's ability to move earth through this passage. It's still not a physical image of God, but it's seeing who God is through what he can do. This shows us that God is faithful in his desire to help people. In the story of Jonah, we also see God continually care for Jonah, even when Jonah is grumpy and seems to only want to stay grumpy. We also see God show mercy and grace to all people, even when they sometimes do wrong. This shows us that God is forgiving and cares for all people. So all throughout the Old Testament, we see God show who he is, but only through specific images that he's giving to specific people or specific groups of people at that time. Those ways that we see God in the Old Testament are images or events that point towards who God is. God is in those moments and images, and those images are used to show the characteristics of God and point towards larger power, abilities, and character of God. In some ways, it's an abstract way of seeing God. We're not able to completely comprehend them at all times, and even today, when we only see these images of God, it can be hard to fully understand who he is. But we're lucky enough that we get the New Testament as well. We get to see God more clearly through Jesus' life on earth, and the images of God become more comprehensible to us. Jesus shows us who God is. Jesus is the embodiment of God. In addition to our scripture passage this morning in Hebrews saying, Jesus is the exact imprint of God's very being, we also see that same idea in John 1. In verse 14 it says, "And the Word," referring to Jesus, "became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." This is a core belief of Christians, that Jesus is God. So let's take a look at the characteristics of God that we see in the Old Testament and how they show up in Jesus' life and his teachings. The power of God is shown through Jesus' countless miracles and healings. In Matthew 9, Jesus heals a paralyzed man, and those who saw it happen start to realize that this seems like the power of God that Jesus is using. And we can know now that Jesus had the full power of God, but people in that story were only starting to catch on to that. We also see in Luke 8, a woman is healed from years of ongoing health struggles when she simply touches Jesus' cloak. This demonstrates the power of God that is all throughout Jesus. It's not just something he sparingly gives out or he is taking all of his time and energy to focus on something. It is a power that is all throughout Jesus, so much so that even just touching and being close to Jesus brings about healing. The importance of God's presence is also seen with Jesus. God is present in various ways in the Old Testament. You see his presence in the burning bush. You see his presence with Moses when the Red Sea is parted. But we can see Jesus be physically present with people, knowing that since he is present, he also brings along the presence of God. Jesus makes a point in Luke 10 when he is at the home of Martha and Mary to be present with those in the house. Jesus being present with people is so important that she tells Martha she's distracted by the wrong things, and that spending time and being present with Jesus and others is far more important than the house chores that she is annoyed at her sister for not doing. Jesus also makes it clear that his presence, and therefore the presence of God, is with people even when he is not physically present with them. Jesus makes this promise in John 16, verse 7, when he says, "It is to your advantage that I go far away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." We know this Advocate is the Holy Spirit, and that God and Jesus is always with us through the Holy Spirit. And before Jesus leaves the disciples for the final time, he reminds them that he is always with them till the end of time, showing that Jesus is always with us, therefore so is God, because Jesus is the presence and embodiment of God. Jesus also shows us that he is forgiving in the same ways that God is. We see God forgive Jonah over and over, and God also forgives the people of Nineveh. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us to forgive others every time we pray. Jesus knows that God spent much of his time forgiving those who disobeyed him and turned back, and Jesus also gives this high level of forgiveness. We see this when he's dying on the cross. And while I know it is weird to talk about Jesus dying when we haven't even made it to his birth yet, but the forgiveness that Jesus exemplifies on the cross is such a poignant example of Jesus showing the forgiving nature of God. Jesus is actively being harmed by people who are against him and strongly dislike him, yet he is making sure he takes a moment to forgive them and their actions. And this is such a great example to show us God's characteristic of forgiveness through the actions of Jesus, even to Jesus' last moments on earth. So we know that Jesus is the clear reflection and embodiment of God. And while we can't fully and completely embody God or Jesus, we can and we should work to reflect these characteristics of God that we see through the embodiment of Jesus. We can't perform miracles like God and Jesus do. We can show others how the power of God is working in our lives. We can share when we feel that power in our lives. When we're anxious of an upcoming situation in our lives, and we get a calm reminder from a friend or a gentle smile from a stranger, we can share how that is the power of God working in us. When prayers are answered and surgery goes better than expected, or test results from a doctor are good, we know that's the power of God and Jesus in our lives, and we can share those experiences with others to show them how Jesus is present and using his power to help us and those around us. We can also make sure that we are present with people, reminding them that Jesus is also present with them. Presence doesn't always have to be this big, extravagant moment. It can look like a quick text to a friend that's having a difficult time or a friend you haven't talked to in a while. It can be grabbing coffee with them to see how they're doing or simply running errands with someone to keep them company. It can also be just intentionally spending time in the same space as someone, each doing your own activity. One person might be reading a book, someone might be practicing the piano, another might be drinking a cup of coffee and enjoying a quiet, slow moment. But you are still present with others, sharing the same space and the same moment. And everyone in that space knows you can break that quiet moment if you need to talk. And there's comfort in having presence of others around you, the same presence that we experience of Jesus with us. Now, presence can also be a bigger moment that takes a little bit more planning. It can be inviting people over to your house for a meal and conversation, or it can be taking a few days, trading off with friends and family so that someone's not alone in the hospital. All of these things help to remind us that Jesus is always present around us, and we can share his presence in our lives with those around us. And we also know that Jesus is forgiving as God is. We can show others his forgiving nature by offering our forgiveness to those around us. And I recognize this is a lot easier said than done. When someone hurts us or we have an argument or a disagreement, it can be really hard to forgive them. But no one ever said that trying to show others the characteristics of Jesus was going to be easy. Forgiveness does not always have to look like forgiving someone and then becoming best friends with them. It can be forgiving something that they have done or some way that they have said something and you're hurt, but then simply just being able to coexist with them in the same space. You don't need to be best buds with them and make plans to hang out with them all the time. You can be able to exist in the same space and not continue to harbor that resentment or disapproval. And by doing this, we're pointing back at the forgiving nature of Jesus, showing others who Jesus, and therefore God, is. We can all agree that Jesus is the embodiment and reflection of God, and that we can see those characteristics of God through Jesus. We see the power of God, the presence of God, and the forgiving nature of God, all throughout Jesus and his ministry. It's important for us to keep in mind those characteristics from God that make Jesus who he is, especially as we enter into Advent and move towards Christmas and the birth of Jesus. Holding these characteristics with us so we remember why Advent and the birth of Jesus is important to help us see the character of God. And so that in turn, we can do our best to reflect those characteristics to those around us during the Advent season and beyond. So as you spend some time over the next days and weeks getting manger scenes set up and making your way through the Christmas story, remember that everything for the next month points to and leads us towards Jesus, who came to earth as the complete embodiment of God, to show us the characteristics of God, his Father, and God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus points us to God throughout his life and teachings on earth. And through our lives, we can point to Jesus and his embodiment of God. As we continue into the Advent season, let's make a conscious effort to remember that Jesus is God and that we can direct others towards them when we share with others about the power of God in our lives. We are intentionally present with those around us, and we work to have a forgiving attitude. So hold on to hope, knowing that Jesus was born as the embodiment of God to show us who God is. And we can reflect those characteristics of Jesus to those around us through our actions and the ways that we live. Amen.